Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good hump day. It's a beautiful day outside. Everything should be nice and sunny here in Middle Tennessee, especially after last night. Darren McFarland, that's me down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is hanging out in East Nashville. Chase McKay, parts unknown, somewhere in Middle Tennessee. Elijah Campbell back at the Wholesale Inc. Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Doing well. Hanging tough.
I don't know if you guys saw Mike Garofalo just put out a tweet that said, Titans linebacker Kamalea Correa has requested a trade after being inactive last night. Sources tell me and Tom Pelissero.
I did see that. Just saw that, actually. Right as we were coming on the air, I mean.
And so did I, and that's why I read it.
Yeah, and that's great job by you. Good job. good inflection with the voice there. It was fantastic. I don't know. I don't really know what to make of that. I mean, he's obviously a depth piece, but he's been a good depth piece. He's made plays for this team, but when you have Clowney and Beasley, I mean, they're better than you. Sorry. They're supposed to be. So I don't really know what to make of that.
I'm stunned. He just came off of the COVID list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
yep.
There's a lot of the story to be told here for the rest of the season. We've got a long way to go. Like, I'd feel like somebody needs to talk to somebody.
You're sure going to do that after last night?
Yeah, very odd.
Yeah, by the way, the team has obliged and said they will release him if they cannot trade him. So
there you go.
I guess we have seen
I guess no talk. I guess
Correa.
No pep talk.
Guess not.
Like,
but you know what, though?
Don't want to be here? Okay.
Right. That's kind of my attitude. Like, all right, we're doing something cool. I mean, we're 4-0 and just had a huge win on a Tuesday night after not being in the facility for 16 days. You don't want to be a part of this? Fine. Good luck to you in future
heard
endeavors.
Timing is everything. You ever heard that phrase before, that saying? Bad timing. Timing was a little off on this. To me, I understand you're frustrated, whatever, because we've even asked this question, right? We've talked a little bit about this. You know, why aren't they using Correa a little bit more back earlier in the year? They signed him to a new deal, but this is bad timing. Like, this is not the time when you come out, like you said, after a win like last night, which, you know, at least especially for me, I thought they were going to look like a team that hadn't played in 16 days. It was going to be an extremely difficult game to win, and as we're going to talk about for the majority of today, I mean, wow, that was impressive. The Bills looked like the team that hadn't played in 16 days.
No question.
Not the Titans. But this is just bad.
What's he doing? This is a, you know, you get on the list for this, the more you think about it. But in his defense, right, he's got to be frustrated. They weren't using him very much even when they didn't have everybody, right?
Hence why we were discussing it. But
right,
still,
but
you know, this is timing, typically what you see with an 0-4 team, not a 4-0 team, right?
And even when a team is struggling, right, most of the time, it doesn't get any better at the next place. Sometimes it does. So, you know, he can hang out with Le'Veon Bell, and they can look for a new spot. And best wishes to him.
Yeah, I mean, that's
Le'Veon Bell. I am shocked the Jets couldn't find a trading partner for Le'Veon Bell. That just floored me. How did they not find a suitor? Somebody to give them something for Le'Veon Bell. Oh, boy.
Mm.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Maybe he and Correa can be a package deal for somebody.
Two for one.
Well, honestly,
two for
if
one in the bargain
ever
bin.
A year where your stock is going to be higher than normal years, you know, they will find homes. I mean, somebody's, because of everything that's happening in 2020, this weird season, I mean, they will find rosters, I'm sure. I doubt that Correa and Bell will be sitting on the sidelines the rest of the year.
His parting gift is Derrick Henry has to stiff arm him out of the building. That's how he can leave.
How's old Josh Norman feeling today, by the way?
Josh Norman had a rough night last night.
I don't know.
Rough night.
I think we could probably go back through and find games where a guy just had the nightmare game. But that's got to be up there with the biggest. Like, every single time you saw number 29 for the Bills on the screen, getting worked. Getting worked every which way. Either giving up a touchdown throw early, getting the stiff arm of the year so far.
Talking
just getting
smack.
Juked out of his shoes.
Did you see him talking smack to Vrabel? And Vrabel's pointing at the flag. Like, dude, the flag's on you, Dodo.
That's
you guys...
the most Josh Norman play of all time, too.
Oh, I know.
For him to talk smack and the flag get thrown behind him as he's talking smack to the Titans coach.
And Vrabel's like, hey, Dodo, turn around. That flag's on you, dumb.
It was unbelievable. That is right. He was going for the record for most embarrassing game of a career. Here's the underrated one. We saw the stiff arm that everybody, even Chase, I see you've got the GIF of it right now, or the GIF. GIF. The next play is the same play.
Yeah.
And Henry runs in there, because remember, it was offsetting penalties, so that they had to redo it. So they just give him to it again. And he runs into two guys. One of them is Norman, and he pile drives him straight forward for about 3 yards. And Norman gets up and starts talking like
Imagine
he made
that.
A great play. I was like, Josh, he ran into two of your guys, you and another guy, and you couldn't bring him down. He drove you forward for 3 more yards. Congratulations, you made the tackle, but wow.
And by the way, you got the first down, too. Did you see
yes.
that one late in the game? Was that the one you're talking about?
No, it was the very next play after the pile driver. It was the very next play. So he just got embarrassed with the stiff arm right in front of the bench. Everybody's hooping and hollering. And then the very next play, something very similar happens. It just wasn't as eye-opening. And he got up and started like talking to Derrick Henry like he had made a great play. Derrick was like, what are you talking about? I just drove two of your guys back for 3 yards.
And I got a first down. Ding dong.
Right.
I mean,
it was unreal.
Not a good night for
Josh. Did you guys see that?
It was comical.
His Wikipedia page got updated. I don't know if you guys saw this. Joshua Ricardo Norman is an American football cornerback for the Buffalo Bills of the National Football League. His father is Tennessee Titans running back Derrick Henry.
I mean, you could hear the eruption of the Titans sidelines.
I mean, man.
The eruption.
And the fans.
On the Titans
the fans that were there. You could hear some of them.
I guess. I just was focusing on their sideline going absolutely bonkers. And you can only imagine. Like what Josh Norman is saying. What, first of all, why is he trying to tackle him up high? Why is he trying to tackle Derrick Henry?
He's not the first to make that mistake.
Up high, I know.
Can I ask a question about
you've had time to realize that's a bad idea.
Can I ask a question about the Wikipedia? When somebody plays a prank like that and does that, is there another person that goes in and fixes it eventually? Or does it just stay like that?
I don't know.
The wiki police go in there and
do they? Okay. So there's a wiki police
They turn on the sirens and they go in there and they change it.
Yeah, like, they've already taken it off.
Remember the fun we had with Kristaps Porzingis? And he said, you know, Twitter is wrong. My account got hacked. I can't remember exactly what he said, but we were like, how do you call Twitter and say, I got hacked? Like, is there a number? Do you tweet Twitter? Like, how do you get in touch with Twitter?
Hey, Twitter. A hacked hotline that you have to call.
Yeah. So, like, does Josh or somebody that knows Josh have to call Wikipedia and say, "Hey, Wikipedia police,
my page has been hacked."
Yeah, my page has been hacked. Derrick Henry's on all of my page. He's not my dad.
Everybody says that he's my dad. That's not true. What would be great is if
I am your father.
If Wikipedia was like, actually, I saw that play. He pretty much is.
All right, so
I'm sorry to inform you, Josh, but he actually is your daddy.
The fact check stands.
He is your daddy. Maybe not biological, but football-wise, he's your daddy. All right, you guys ready to have your mind blown?
Yes.
Unless you've seen this, your mind is going to be blown. okay?
If you're about to go Scorigami, then yes, I've seen it.
Who am I? What quarterback am I? Okay? This quarterback has the same record in the last 14 games as Ryan Tannehill, 11-3. Have you guys seen this?
No.
If not, just, if you have, play along.
No, I really
have. Blow everybody's mind out there listening who hasn't seen this. This is from CBS, NFL on CBS. They put this out there. This is pretty incredible. So in the last 14 games, this quarterback has the same record as Ryan Tannehill. By the way, Ryan Tannehill, we're going to talk about this hour for sure. Has, I mean, 11-3, by the way, last 14 games.
And you're saying there's another quarterback that's 11-3?
Yes, so this quarterback, and I want you guys to name this quarterback, is also 11-3. Ryan Tannehill in those 14 games has passed for 3,602 yards. This quarterback has passed for 3,674 yards. Ryan Tannehill has 31 touchdown passes in those 14 games. This quarterback has 28. Tannehill has six interceptions. This quarterback has six interceptions in those 14 games. This quarterback has a quarterback rating of 102.3. I wish it was 102.5.
That would be cool.
It's 102.3.
Just round it up.
I was going to say, we would have given that stat every segment if it was a 102.5 rating. Ryan Tannehill's quarterback rating is a 116.7. Who am I?
Patrick Mahomes?
Chase?
That was a good guess.
Like, Patrick Mahomes hasn't lost. He just lost for the second time since the Titans, so I think it's got to work out that way, right? It's got to be Mahomes.
Well, I'll go on a limb just because of the game. Is it Josh Allen?
I think they're both really good guesses, and one of you is correct. It is indeed one Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
So he's matched Mahomes' numbers for the last 14 regular season games.
Yeah. Mahomes has thrown for 72 more yards. They have the identical record. Tannehill has thrown for three more touchdowns. They have the same number of picks. And Tannehill's passer rating is, his quarterback rating is better than Mahomes. Now, tell me who in the world would have said that, right? If you didn't just hear that, and we said something like that, you would be like, "Yeah, whatever. What have you been drinking this morning?"
But don't you think we have certainly noted as the stretch run was happening last year that they were moving into elite offense category? Now, when you put it side by side with the very, very best, it's still eye popping. I think the greatest news for everybody is that he's picked up where he left off last year. The whole narrative off the offseason was, boy, they paid him a lot of money for nine good games or whatever it was, right? Or 11? What was it? 10?
I forget. How many? Games
10 or 11. Yeah, plus the playoffs.
Six plus the playoffs, right? 10? I think it was like 10's right.
So he's kept right on going. And you know what's impressive about last night?
By the way, I'm glad you brought that up. I think it's next. What is today's date? 14. I think it's a week from today. I think it was, or October 20th was exactly when they replaced Mariota with Tannehill. So we're like a week out from this actually happening.
The
this
anniversary
time last year, yeah, when basically the franchise changed. And think about that. Think about how much this franchise changed a week from now, a year ago, a week from now. This franchise completely changed.
Was that his first start?
Because no, he came off the bench against the Broncos.
That was the 13th. That was yesterday.
Right. No, that's when – right, but then he – then that's when they – this week is the week they announce he's the starter.
Right, so his first start. That's what I was asking.
So his first start would be a week from now.
Right.
Yeah, which was against – who was the first game?
Chargers.
Kansas City? Chargers? Okay, I knew it was either the Chargers or the Chiefs.
Because remember, that was that crazy game.
Crazy, crazy game.
You know,
which was one of the weirder finishes I've ever seen in an NFL game.
Oh, yeah.
The wins and losses are, of course, the most important thing.
By the way, Anthony Lynn, imagine that. The Chargers lost a close, crazy game.
Yeah. Right par for the course with them.
Yeah, honk if you've heard that before.
But it's really not even in the stats. The like last night, 195 yards. It's not in the yards, right? Last night was not a game of yards. Mm-mm. It was a game of field position. It was a game of turnovers. It was a game of cashing in. The red zone numbers might be the most important thing mm-hmm. about Tannehill, right? When you really look a little closer, how efficient they are in the red zone is incredible.
Yep. And that's going. That's even going back to Mariota. It's pretty amazing how this team has been so good in the last 4 years in the red zone, right? It's
yeah.
pretty amazing. You would think they've been 9-7 in all those years. You would think that it would have led to even more success, considering we always talk about how critical it is to capitalize in the red zone, and the Titans have been doing that.
But I feel like
it would have led to more wins.
But let's make sure we mention this in our first segment, because if we don't, we'll be missing the lead. Because I think we all thought the same thing yesterday. I was probably the most outspoken going back to the middle of last week when it looked like this game was going to be played. I was astounded how sharp they were. That was one of the best team performances, mental toughness, overcoming challenges that I think I've ever seen in a team. I mean, I'm sure there's others that I haven't seen or I'm forgetting, but I just kept, my jaw was dropped. When you looked at every time they needed to play, here's Jeremy McNichols. Here's who's number 30 who was making special teams plays. I'd never seen him before. Hollister makes a key third down catch. There's a third and two on the drive that puts the game away. Who's in the game? It's not Henry. It's McNichols. He gets a key five or six yard run.
Who you're thinking of.
Chris Milton is the special teams guy, number 30. It was incredible how everybody came together and was laser focused. And as you said, Darren, I think all of us had the same kind of thought. It was so reversed of what we thought we might see. It was the Bills that were sloppy.
Jumping off sides.
The Bills were making all the mistakes you would think a team that hasn't practiced.
No, it was unbelievable.
I mean, I am so impressed.
By the way, you could tell how ticked McDermott was at the end in the fourth quarter. Like every
pulling guys out.
Yes, every time they goofed, that guy was coming off the field.
He's like, get out.
Like, get out. Are you serious? Like, honestly, how big is, you know, I know the score if you did see it, and we're going to get into it. We're going to have a little fun with, like, people who think I'm shaving my head over that. You're out of your mind. That was not a 41-16 game. Give me a 42-16 game.
Pretty close.
If you watch the game, that wasn't even close to 42-16.
Pretty close.
But good for them.
It's pretty close.
It played, you know, by the way, it was 28-16 with 4 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah. Keep stretching.
Okay.
Keep digging the hole.
Okay.
It was close. I think you should at least
get a 41-3 game. A 41-3 game suggests the game was a wipeout. That game was not a wipeout. And the reason I'm saying that is, think about this. 3rd and 7, late. It's still 28-16. And what did Buffalo do? 3rd and 7, which is not a good position to be in the NFL. They jumped off sides.
Yep.
That rookie, and he took him right out, which created what? 3rd and 2. What did the Titans do? Converted it, kept it alive, touchdown. Game over. Thanks for playing. If they hold them to a field goal, they're thinking they got a chance, right? They got a chance.
No, there was no chance. That game was over at
Probably
that point.
So. But McDermott is there. That's their last chance, right? That's the only chance
If you're a Bills fan or if you had threatened to shave your head.
I agree.
Which I think, Darren, at the very least, we need to get the clippers out. You should at least get a trim.
No.
You should at least get a trim.
You do not get to touch the hair from that game.
I'm not touching anything. I just think you should self-report and say, you know what?
Let
it wasn't 41-3, but that was a butt-kicking beyond any of our wildest dreams, and you should react.
So that's how bets work, right? Chase, you know, this is how bets work. You just go back to the sports book and go, come on, guys. Just give me the money.
Give me $12.
I mean, come on. You have to admit. Like, you owe me a little bit from this ticket. Come on.
Elijah,
that's how it works.
Do we have it? Do you have it ready? He's prepared something.
You say you wouldn't be surprised if the Titans won 41-3. I would be willing to tell you I'd shave my head if they won.
Wow.
There's no chance that happened.
Mark that.
Zero. Okay, and I've never made that bet, as you guys know. I'll tell you right now, if they beat the Bills 41-3, considering these circumstances, I would be so shocked I'll shave my head. Okay, that's not happening. You wouldn't be surprised. I'd be floored. I'm floored right now. The line is only 3.5, considering.
Is that what it
the
is?
The circumstance. It's 3.5. Buffalo favored. I thought it would be honestly more closer to a touchdown.
There you go.
Thank goodness it won in pick 6. I would have probably top shelfed it and lost bad.
I think we all would have.
So I got a few texts from people. Did Darren sweat it out? And I said no, because it was. I mean, it was tied at seven.
There was, right.
Yeah, once they got
no
to seven,
sweat.
Darren had
seven
said he wouldn't do it. But
the only reason we're bringing it up was the fact that the Titans put up 42, and I had said 41.
Well, I was really hoping Guskowski slipped or the bat snapped an extra point, so it ended 41. I was just really had that plotted out, but. You did clarify that it had to be exactly 41.
We set the boundary. We didn't say, hey, if the Titans blow them out, or hey, if they win the game convincingly. We didn't say any of those parameters.
Just the Clippers.
41-3.
Get like a five guard or something. Just take the Clippers and go with the five guard. You don't have to take the whole thing off and go down to the wood. You know, just take the Clippers and trim a little bit.
Look, now I am not going to get bullied into touching my hair.
Come on.
We made a bet. And the bet was lost. That's how it works. You don't go to the sports book and say, come on, guys, give me a little bit. Come on. Give me a little bit of money back. Come on. You know I deserve a little bit.
Right.
That's it's not like how it works.
Chris now, Rock, what's the movie where Chris Rock goes in and says, the hamburger's 45 cents. I've got 20
I'm
cents.
I'm going to get you, sucker.
Can I get the – yeah, I'm going to get you, sucker. Can I just get the bun and a pickle? That's
you got change for 100.
That's right.
All right, forget the cup. Throw,
let me,
put it
let
my
me
hand.
Just get one rib.
Put it in my hand
Can
for
I,
a dime.
I don't have enough for an order of ribs. Can I just get one rib?
I can't say his line. He said, right. Forget the cup. Pour it in my hand for a dime. Then he goes, you got change for 100. The guy's like, get out of here.
I will say this because I was sitting there last night and I see the final score and we're texting and I'm thinking, all right, if Darren were in my position – he would figure out a way to brag, even though the bet was 41-3 and the score was 42-16. But he'd be like, I told you I wasn't going to be surprised either way. But you know what? I'm not going to do that. 42-16, good win.
You'd have
Titans
to admit
made it 4-0.
What the way that game played out. And by the way, I'll tell you guys. So we had practice last night. You know, I couldn't change it. I wasn't prepared for Tuesday night football. You know, Titans playing Tuesday night football. This has been set up for weeks. And so I DVR'd everything. And, of course, there were a lot of parents watching, listening to the game. I told everybody, do not tell me anything. I do not want to know anything. Don't scream anything. If you're going to scream, walk away from the field, get in the car, and scream in the car. Whatever. I don't want to know what's going on. And by the time I get home is toward the end of the game or at the end of the game. And so I haven't seen anything. And so you guys are blowing me up. I see Twitter's blowing, and I'm like, if you hadn't seen the game, you're like, so I'm just going through what anybody would do, right? So I'm going, all right, how did this play out? Doesn't matter. At this point, I'm going to stay up tonight. It's going to be a late night. I'm going to watch the whole game, and I'm going to, just try to get through it as fast as I can.
Show prep.
And go to bed. Yeah, I mean, I got to watch it. So right. I didn't want to know, but at that point I had found out, and it wasn't going to change anything. But I'm going, holy crap. Like, they dominated the Bills. How did they do? They crushed them. Like, right, you just see the score, and, as we're going to talk about today, the score was not indicative of the game. I'm not going to take anything away from the Titans. It was an impressive win. Like I said, the Bills looked like the team that hadn't played
it was a
in
butt
16
kicking.
In days.
It was a butt kicking.
They were embarrassing at times.
The Titans were in control.
They were.
They controlled there was never a time, from the start.
There was never a time that I felt they weren't in control of that game.
They were playing at a different level the whole night, and every time the
you
Bills
think in the first
tried
half
to make
they
it,
were in control, you never felt
I felt
like
good about
you
it.
You felt like this is absolutely their game first half.
I felt good about it. I was stunned from the start about how well they were playing. You could get a feel, and every time they got pushed or the Bills pushed back, the Titans came right back down. Oh, you think you're going to get back into the game? No, you're not. And they came right back down.
Well, that
Tannehill
touchdown was big right before the half.
Right before the half. And then, as you said, Darren, when the Bills finally did score, it was big to stop the two-pointer.
Yep.
And then what did the Titans do? They marched right down the field and scored. Game over.
Yep.
That's just a great, mentally tough team that knows how to win. You got to give them all kinds of credit, and
I got to give.
Yeah, we're babbling here. We haven't even taken a break. We're so crazed by this game, but also in light of the Titans have to be buoyed by the league's change of position, which I've been calling for the whole time. I was amazed. I read the statement. They did exactly what they probably should have done from the start. And we can get into that later, but that was huge for the Titans. They're vindicated, right?
Something that I want to bring up on the other side that we haven't talked about, an unsung hero in last night's game that I can't tell you the last time we've discussed this particular area of a team. It's been a while, and I thought they were the unsung hero of last night's game. We'll discuss that and more on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Circumstances that they've dealt with, they've come out, and this is going to be an enormous win against the team that everybody talked about being one of the best teams in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills.
And they are. There's no doubt about it, but you have two unbeaten teams coming in. The ball is loose, and it's picked up by Tennessee. Everything is rolling the Titans' way after 16 days where it didn't roll their way. Kareem Orr.
42-16 last night. Titans move on to 4-0 on the season. The Bills suffer their first loss of the year. Next up for them, Kansas City Chiefs, coming off their first loss. So it's going to be interesting. Kansas City and Buffalo, one of them is going to be 4-2 after this week, and you wouldn't have thought that after the first 4 weeks of the regular season. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, and there you go. That was my hint. How long has it been, guys, since we've talked about an incredible all-around performance? It's one thing to talk about a game-winning field goal or four field goals or Brett Kern doing an unbelievable job punting, but usually it's just like one thing. When's the last time we've talked about an all-around unbelievable special teams performance by the Tennessee Titans? That was the case last night. Their special teams, by the way, Khalif Raymond, it's been that was refreshing. When's the last time we've seen them really get great field position, really kind of change things from kickoffs or returns? I thought their special teams, I know it gets buried in all the other good stuff that happened, but special teams deserves real credit last night because all around, oh, by the way, Brett Kern, they had trouble snapping the ball on extra points. Did you see how many times it was basically rolled to Brett Kern and he was still able to pick the ball up and get it ready for Gostkowski to put it through? I thought all around they got an A-plus on special teams last night.
And that's after the first week debacle and with the kicking problems that they had. I think on Football Outsiders they were 32 out of 32, not surprisingly, when they missed all those kicks. But you're right there. They've done a 180. Let me give you a stat. Average drive start for the Buffalo Bills, their own 17. Average drive start for Tennessee, their own 46.
There you go.
That's a lot of hidden yards. And that's why you can't just look at how many yards did each quarterback throw for, how many yards did each team get, because it doesn't tell the whole story. The term that Mike Vrabel uses all the time is complementary football. That was a great example. It's exactly what they wanted out of that. It started with one of the very first plays of the game. They get the interception, right? So when you get the turnover margin and you get that special teams edge, it's hard to lose.
Yeah. I mean, you hear coaches all the time saying all three phases. How many times have you heard Mike Vrabel say that? And I thought the Titans produced in all three phases last night. And special teams certainly led the way. Khalif Raymond is showing once again he belongs in the NFL and he belongs on this team. He made a couple of key catches on offense, but also his return game.
You think that was a key catch on one conversion?
Absolutely.
What was it? What were they facing on that play? Was that a third down or a second down? Second or third and long?
Yeah, I think it was second, but I mean.
And he had a 20-yard catch?
It was right after a penalty, right?
Yes, I think that's right.
Where they had picked it up. They had thrown a screen to Jonnu Smith, and you're like, whoa, nice play. And then, oops, it's coming back.
Right back.
And they came right back down and picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to find it on the play-by-play, but that was the kind of night it was, right? Anytime you needed a play, somebody made it. And it wasn't always the top guys, even though A.J. Brown, of course, made a huge impact on the game. Wow, was it great to see him back in there. But here's Raymond, here's Hollister, here's McNichols. It was impressive.
Guys made plays when they needed to make plays. The superstars were the superstars, and I don't want to hear people going, well, Derrick Henry only had 57 yards. Some of the play-action passes that they were able to execute don't happen without Derrick Henry.
Were you surprised at how little That's the least amount he's played in a game this season.
I was pleasantly surprised
at
how much confidence they showed. Evans pulled a hammy after a really nice run. He looked like he was going to make his first.
I know. I'm concerned about him. I'm concerned. Is this what it's going to be?
But
he's always bad.
He was looking good. Like you were starting to see, well, this is why they got this guy. But I thought they showed a commitment to spelling Henry, knowing they got to come back on Sunday, knowing how much workload he's already had. And it worked perfectly.
He had 11 carries off, if you count the 9 to McNichols and the 2 to Evans. So that shows you that they were willing to go, you know, do something else. And
well,
Tannehill
helped
you too.
He was in there way. He's in there barely. I think it was just over 50% of the snaps. That was it on offense. So that's, I mean, for him, especially a game, as you guys have been alluding to, that they were in control. Typically, that's when you what? Cram Derrick Henry down somebody's throat, and they didn't do that.
Yeah, which to be honest with you, 16 days off, and it wasn't a bad idea. They didn't have to. I think if they had had to, he'd have been fine, but they were able to spread the ball around. Wes
they
on
still
our
had 19 carries. It's not like he had seven carries. So they still, but they brought the average down. I do think they're very conscious about not getting up into that 350, 370 carry area, which takes its toll over the long term. And then you mix in Chase, as you mentioned, where they didn't practice for 2 weeks. That's a recipe for pulling a hammy. You know, and that's what happened to Evans. I was holding my breath because that's what I was probably worried about as much as anything, is when you haven't gone full speed. It happens all the time. We talk about guys who miss the first couple weeks of training camp. They go out and play a preseason game and pull something. Right? That didn't Evans, to our knowledge, is the only guy that happened to last night. Yeah, that's not all bad.
Wes on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, said it was 3rd and 19 in a 20-yard catch for Cleveland.
I knew it was a big play.
Huge.
Just think about that. 3rd and 19, and he gets 20. I mean, that was just the kind of night it was for the Titans. But it was nice to see special teams, right? Everything worked on special teams. Willie, that field position is humongous. I mean, my goodness, you're talking about them starting at almost midfield. And by the way, did you see, was it Milton Kern? I mean, you know, I know we've seen this entire career, you know, pinning somebody up the two. They had one where they downed it at the two.
Yeah,
then they had
Milton.
The one where I guess he caught it inside the 10 or the 5. I don't remember where exactly it was. And Milton was, just smothered him. By the way, Roberts did not have a good night last night for Buffalo. That was not Andre Roberts, who I actually thought could be somebody that could be a difference maker for the Bills coming into the game. He had a rough night last night.
Here are a couple of drive starts for the Bills. The Buffalo 9, the Buffalo 9, the Buffalo 3, the Buffalo 10. So four
there
drives start at the 10 or inside. And there were a few drives they had. They had a 15-play drive, a 10-play drive, a 14-play, and another 14-play. But it had to be for them like they were climbing a mountain, right? There were several drives where they would just dink and dunk. They've worked extremely hard, and they're only at the 45-yard line, right, because they had so far to go. That's what was great about the Titans' game plan. I thought they kept it pretty simple. They only rushed 3 or 4 most of the time. Occasionally they'd bring the blitz, but I didn't think they tried to do anything crazy scheme-wise, and they just said, you're going to have to drive the field. You're going to have to execute. And the Bills did not execute. Right? They didn't get anything. Yep. They got no big plays, and they had to earn every yard that they got. So even though they gave up some yards, as you point out, Darren, they had a lot of field to cover, so they got some yards. But it was an effective defensive game plan.
You know what the most amazing, or one of the most amazing stats of the night was? That Buffalo was 13 of 17 on third down.
I know.
And still
they
lost
actually,
42-16.
They actually talked about that during the broadcast. Wait, what did you make of that team?
McCarthy and Jay Feely?
Uh-huh.
I liked them.
I thought they were pretty solid.
I did too.
I was like, who are these guys? And then the more I watched, like, these guys are prepared. I thought they did a very solid job.
I liked them. I really did.
I did too.
I was unsure. I mean, Jay Feely has been with them for a while. He's been more of a sideline kicking analyst.
Right.
You know, he's a kicker. But I thought he knew, obviously, the game plan and knew he had a lot of insight on it. So I was actually, well, I was impressed.
Chase, I'll tell you this. Willie knows. I know because I've interviewed Jay Feely in the past in, at Super Bowls on Radio Row. I knew he had a big personality. Willie, if you remember, in fact, I think it was the 07 year I was out at the Super Bowl covering the Patriots and the Giants out in Arizona. And I had a great interview with Jay Feely. And at the time, remember, he was kicking for the Giants.
Okay.
And I brought up Vince Young's, that rookie year, the Giants game at then Adelphia. Remember the fourth and key?
Oh, yeah. I left that game early.
Kiwanuka. What was his – drawing blanks on his name.
Matias Kiwanuka.
Yeah,
right?
He was a rookie. It was his rookie – or he was a rookie that year. And he had him on fourth and ten wrapped up, and he thought they were going to blow the whistle, and he let Vince go. And Vince rumbled. Actually, it was 4th and 15 or something. And he rumbled for like 16 yards, kept the drive alive. The Titans were down, what, 21-0?
Yeah, I left.
Game,
yeah.
And they came
I left
back.
At the end of the third quarter. 21-0. I went home.
George, you know better than
it's
that.
It's like the only time I've
Stop
ever done that.
Games
and
early.
I couldn't believe it.
I know, and you don't even do that. We know somebody who
I
does
don't
that.
Do that, and I did it, and the same thing happened.
And they came back and won 28-21, but I brought up that game to him, and he went into great detail about how that sideline, what it was like on the other sideline when they were watching this meltdown happen, and just that comeback by the Titans and what that atmosphere was like in the stadium back in, that was what, 06, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, so you could see it back then, Darren. Well, what's interesting, and I think we would all say that there is probably a bias from the viewer against a kicker when he's trying to break down film or break down a play. You're like, what does the kicker know about a scheme? So he's probably had to work extra hard to be able to gain the confidence of CBS to put him in there. I thought he did an outstanding job. He's got to be the first of his kind, right? Has there ever been a kicker that's done color commentary on a CBS game?
Has McAfee ever done color?
Good question. Has he?
He's
a punter, but
yeah, he has
for an NFL game?
For college. I don't think for NFL. I think
that's a good one. Though. I had not thought of him, but you could probably count him on one hand in the
McAfee
history.
McAfee works
right?
for like six networks, so I can't keep up.
He's got podcasts. He's got this. Yeah,
he's all over the place.
Yeah,
but I guess to your point, I cannot think of another. In fact, can we even think of another kicker? Like I said, McAfee was a punter. Is there another kicker that's been in the booth?
Well, Pat Summerall was a kicker, but he is a play-by-play guy, so he does count, I guess.
Yeah, he's got to count. Fair. But anybody past that?
I can't think anybody of
anybody between Summerall
as an analyst,
and Feely?
Yeah, as an analyst, though.
I can't
but,
think
I mean,
of
we've had some great conversations with kickers over the years. They have personality. I mean,
Well, think about all the football they observe, right? Yeah. Just watching and absorbing. They have time, right? You don't just sit there and kick for two straight hours every day at practice. You get your work in, you get your special teams meetings in, and then you watch, right?
I mean, Al Del Greco did morning drive in Birmingham,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
on jocks for how many years?
Long time.
If you're watching and you're kind of a sponge, you pick up a ton, I'm sure. You're just watching how it works. So Feely, congratulations to him. That was a nice job.
I enjoyed them. I had never heard their work. I'd never listened. I don't think I'd ever watched a game that they were doing, and I was really impressed with them.
They when you get the lower team, which they are right now, you usually expect you're watching out for. Are these guys prepared? You know, there's a reason these guys are getting this game. It's not a priority. It's not the 3:25 game on Sunday afternoon. But I thought they passed with high marks, for sure, with their preparation, their knowledge. And Feely had, you know, Feely came right out from the start and drove home the storyline throughout the night of what we've been watching the last couple weeks. The no practice, going through all the stuff. They didn't shy away from it. They talked about it. Now, there were some, probably from the outside perspective, that had read all these articles about how the Titans disregarded all the protocols and stuff, and they were stunned that that was the narrative, that the league did a – I would have to say the league did about as close to a 180 as there is, right? if you read the memo that came out last week and then the statements that came out last night, two totally different things.
I would say I'd like to know who, you know, we talked about this yesterday. Who are they talking to? Who was Florio and some of these guys that were reporting this stuff, Schefter and others? Who were they talking to? Because
great question.
Seems like something really changed.
Something
from about
changed
Wednesday or Thursday of last week. You know, a week later, because that thing has gone underground.
I'm curious.
Oh, they did an investigation.
I'm curious if Mike Vrabel talks about much about it today. My guess is he will downplay it and he'll say, "Hey, we got another game on Sunday. I'm not going to get into it. It's in the past." Is what I guess he will do. But the only thing I can say,
I don't think it's really in the past.
Well, it sounds now like it is because they have basically said there's not going to be any penalties, right?
That is truly a 180 from the stuff that was being reported.
We're talking about suspensions and draft picks.
I mean,
forfeit was thrown out there.
I would.
We asked them. We had the play-by-play guy on from the Bills last week, Darren, and we asked him, do you think there's a chance? Because McManus was about to do his weekly thing. And we just asked John Murphy, the Bills radio play-by-play, you know, I know this is impossible for you to answer, but the forfeit word has been thrown out there. What would you think about that, right? It was common. It's not like we just made it up. It was in the memo. The word forfeit, the word draft picks, all of that. And then yesterday it is...
Nothing.
We're working together.
Yeah.
This is for everybody's safety. I think that when they really looked at what happened, I think they looked and they both came together and said, we're partners here, right? We got to learn from this. You're not perfect. We're not perfect, which is probably how it should have been.
But I go back to those guys were talking to people. Okay?
Oh, yes.
When people don't understand how this works, anytime these national platforms, these shows – these national analysts, they put that stuff out there. They get on their ESPNs, Fox, CBS, whatever they're doing, and they put this stuff out there. It's because they're talking to people. They're getting fed this information. I'd like to know who in the world was feeding all the people that were reporting that stuff last week that information. Because how did it go from that
narrative change
to this?
The narrative changed from everything is perfect except for one team to – hey, this whole pandemic is tough. There's challenges. When we look at our protocols, they're not perfect. Are the Titans the only team that haven't followed everything to a T? No. And I think they took a different stance. I commend them for that. That's the best way.
If that's what they found?
It's the best way for the lead to get through this. Especially if, as long as the Titans were up front, they said they were, and they weren't concealing information, then I think you got to give them some slack.
They were pretty consistent. Is the Minnesota game? That's the biggest card they had up their sleeve, because the league botched. I mean, that was them going, yeah, well, you let us get on that plane. It was okay for us to get on the plane and go play that game, right? It sits in. They've changed a lot of stuff since all of that took place. That was like their biggest card up their sleeve, right? And I'm not saying that they're throwing that card down the table in front of Goodell and saying, you know, you guys put us in this spot. I'm just saying that was a bad look and play on the league side, right? We established that yesterday. Like, that was not the Titans. That's all league. That's the NFL going, yeah, all right, protocol says you go on. Go on, get on that plane. Go to Minnesota. Go play that game. And now, you know, today it's different. So –
well,
I don't know if that factored in or not, because that was a big boo-boo on their part. Did that factor in? I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But it just, you know, to the point of what you guys were saying, it is a complete 180. But it shows you why you have to let an investigation play out. Now, of course, if people are reporting that they've talked to executives and, you know, that this is what they're hearing – you then have to, I guess, separate how much is it you're just frustrated and you're spitballing, how much of it is true.
But that's pretty reckless, Chase. And I'm not didn't happen. I agree with you. That could have happened. That is pretty reckless information to pass along to the Adam Schefters of the world to put out
Mike
that
Florio's
stuff. Mike Florio's of the world, who's, you know, on that NBC platform, which is a pretty big partner with the NFL. That is a pretty reckless info. That's why I ask. Like, what in the world did they know to pass along that stuff for these guys to get out there and report this stuff?
In defense of Florio, you got to listen to the whole interview he had with Jared and the GM, because he was balanced with it. Now, he said some things that some people had told him, and he clarified who they were. A high-up person for another team, not somebody from the league,
yep,
that said, hey, I think it could be a first-rounder and a suspension for those guys. And so he clarified that, said this is not inside info that this person has. This is just what this person thinks. And, you know, there were others that thought there would be pretty severe punishments. But those people were not on the inside of the league committee that was doing this. So I think I would point more towards the Schefter article. I still would love to see him come back and, you know, tell us what happened between the time you put that article out in here, because the commissioner's quote was, nobody in the Titans organization willingly broke any of the protocol rules. That is a huge thing. So when they looked at it and they went through it, Mike Vrabel can sit there and say, we did follow the protocols as best we can. And if we messed up, it wasn't intentional. It wasn't, you know, blatant. We're not concealing any information. And that was really, really important in this whole thing.
So what were the other 31 circles? How are they getting info to feed that kind of stuff to national media members to say that the Titans have been doing X? Like, where are they getting that info to say that?
Well, right? I think we're also curious about the workouts, right? What is their – I'd love to hear the explanation of, in the aftermath of the workouts, was there miscommunication? Was there not clarification? Because the workouts in the moment, right, really looked egregious. Like, they went – blew through the stop sign was the narrative. This is where it's interesting to go back through the day-by-day events of last week, because there was a point in time where anybody, even the staunchest defenders of the Titans, would have had a hard time saying there's not going to be any ramifications for what they've done. True?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, Wednesday or Thursday,
to
it was
say,
thinking
to say zero, something's going on. I think it would have been – impossible to actually think zero would come from this, right?
And it was commented that they stayed silent, right? The Titans stayed silent for a couple of days, and people were like, somebody talk to somebody. Somebody tell us what's going on. But they stuck to it.
Well, and you guys know, I mean, you've been around long enough to know that when there are certain pieces of information that get out on purpose, and it's because the team or the league is like, I want this out, so I'm going to leak it. And that's how, I mean, Floyd was magical at that. Nothing got out of that building unless he or Jeff Fisher wanted it to. That wasn't the case here. You had a lot of talking. You had a lot of team executives that probably felt one way or another. And again, were frustrated because the schedule's being shifted around. We saw tweets from players of, you know, that it's affected their lives and ruined their bye weeks. And so I get it. It's a
birthday parties.
It's a frustrating, annoying situation. But if you're these and the reporters are going to report whatever their sources give them, they're going to check it out. And if it checks out, then they're going to report it. But it just shows you that you got to let the investigation get finished. And now that the NFL and Goodell have said they didn't willingly break any protocols, then you got to go with that. But who knows? At the time when some of this stuff was coming out, the feeling within the league may have been different, but they didn't have all the information. That's why they did an investigation.
So is this a case of, hey, it's kind of like the Tannehill last touchdown, right? Just didn't have a good enough angle to overturn the call on the field was touchdown? Is that what you're saying?
That's
there
a good
analogy.
Just
wasn't enough to overturn it?
I mean, maybe. There wasn't. Yeah, they went under the hood, and there wasn't enough evidence.
I mean, we don't know, but it's starting to feel like as we talk this through out loud, maybe they just didn't have the right camera angle, right?
Well, as you said,
there just wasn't enough.
As you said yesterday, the NFL is way up on their mountain. It's hard to see sometimes.
Sometimes,
you know, when you're
yeah.
looking down on the little people, it's
well,
just it's hard to see.
They've got binoculars. They have a telescope up there.
They do, and
they look
you know,
down upon us.
They have that NBC it. That they just zoom in on things.
And
that doesn't always work.
But that's why I think you have to give them credit for backing off when that was the right thing to do. It would have been easy to say, we're the NFL, this is how we do things, and you know, it took kind of guts, because they have to admit they were wrong. They had to, in a way, say that we prejudged. That's the only conclusion I can come to.
Did
right?
they say the word wrong? Did they say that?
Of course not. Yeah, they had, no. But yeah. they said this is.
That's
about,
what it would sound like. We were.
But they said the key thing that this is. We're all learning how to deal with this every day, and how difficult this is. And I think the NFL is realizing how difficult the undertaking is, and they've had to emphasize that more rather than say, we had the protocols work, somebody must not have followed the protocols for this to happen, when that is not always the case.
Wouldn't it be great the next time Roger Goodell comes off the mountain and comes down to talk to us people, and one of the questions, and it may be via Zoom, right, because that's how we do things now. Yes, Commissioner, could you just say the word wrong? That's my question. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good good. Yeah, good luck with that one.
But
also, let's say this, Chase. I think this is an important point, too, because Dr. Alan Sills, his quotes said as much as well. I think the league took the stance they did, we just discussed. I think I commend them for that. And I think the Titans also have to say we have to be more vigilant, too, right? They didn't blatantly break any protocols, but also they have to look and say, what could we have done better? That's the only way we're going to get through this.
Sure.
And continue to be able to play games, complete seasons, crown champions, do everything that we want to do. That's outside the sporting world, too. We have to learn from mistakes and say, how do we deal with this? And if something bad happens, then how do you deal with it, right? Instead of, you can't blame and point fingers and say, it's your fault. Just say, hey, it happens. How do we take the next step and prevent the next level from happening? Let's not let it spread. Let's not do it. Learn from it, right?
Yeah. No, I agree. Hey, what I was going to ask, Darren, in all those Super Bowl Radio Row interviews, have you ever had Goodell? Does he do any of that? Yeah, that's what I figured. Because
that's one of the best. That's funny, Chase. That's some of your best stuff right there.
Did Tagliabue ever do interviews? Like, I mean, what, why can't the NFL commissioner do these things?
I will just tell you, over the years, I've asked for the NFL commissioner to come on our shows, and you, that's the email. It's just audio of someone laughing. It's like, but we're an NFL market. And then their reply is
one of my favorite promos we ever ran as a radio station. Joe Dubin, when he was on the morning show, actually called the NFL offices on the air.
I remember that.
He called the NFL offices and he left a voicemail for Roger Goodell's assistant.
I do remember that.
And he was like, hey, this is Joe Dubin in Nashville. Just want to see what Roger was up to if he'd come on the show.
I think that's actually, you have to, by the way, I don't remember if he announced that they're on live radio, but I think you have to do that.
I think it was recorded. I don't remember how they did it, but no. It was funny.
No, I do remember that. But yeah, no, that's no, that. Oh, Raj does it on Radio Row amongst the people.
With the peasants.
No.
Gary Bettman does,
and it wasn't just Roger Goodell. It was before him. Tagliabue did, but that's a true story. Like, the league literally laughs at you if you ask for the commissioner to come on the radio show. Like, they just laugh at you. Like, pfft. And it's like, we're in an NFL market. We have a team and everything in your league. Yeah. Yeah. The commissioner's not doing that. No. Yeah. So there's your answer.
Sad.
By the way. Yeah, it is. It's sad and pathetic. Melvin Gordon charged with a DUI last night. I don't know what that means for him moving forward in Denver, but, there you go. And no. Dan Mullen, did his SEC all the coaches did their teleconference call with the media today, and Dan Mullen was, I guess, trying out for the secondary as either a cornerback or a safety, but he did some great, and I mean some tremendous backpedaling from his comments after the game at A&M. He wants to apologize if I offended anyone out there, saying that he wants to pack the swamp at whatever capacity. Of course, he said, I meant like whatever the health officials would say would be the proper attendance. So Right. He's been schooled and educated quite well since
he's
Saturday.
He's got bigger problems than that.
What time's practice today, Dan?
Yeah.
He's got bigger problems than that. In fact, Ed Orgeron said this morning, I'm not sure we're going down there.
Yeah. Yep. And we've been talking about this, right? When was it going to hit?
Yeah.
It's hit. Yep. It's hit. All right. We'll come back. Jim Wyatt to start the second hour. Darren Donick and Chase next.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.